Welcome to the Jennings Wire online magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman, and I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today, we'll be talking with Stephen Garrett, trainer, speaker, coach, and author of the recently published book, When Death Speaks, Listen, Learn, and Love. And today, we'll be talking about how the fear of death holds us back from living a full life. So welcome, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Stacey. That's very kind. Thank you for the introduction.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're happy to have you here. And, of course, this is a topic that people tend to shy away from. Why are we so scared of about talking about death?
Well, you know, I looked into that, Stacey, as I was researching my book, When Death Speaks. And one thing I learned that was obvious, but maybe we're not thinking about so much, is the migration from rural living or farm life to urban life. And we've actually moved ourselves away from the natural flow of life, the natural process of birth and death, planting seeds, harvesting, raising an animal, slaughtering it for food. We've moved totally away from that. Back in the 1800s, 11% of us lived in the city. Now only 11% of us live on the farms. So there's been a huge migration away from nature, which I think is primarily responsible for the professionalization and kind of moving away from such a very natural and important facet of life, which is death.
Wow, so because we're not experiencing it throughout our lives, we're not watching things grow, we're not creating things and, you know, planting and killing and those sorts of things ourselves. We're not
watching
that process of life and death, the beginning and the end. We are so far removed from it from ourselves that we can't really wrap our minds around it.
That's right. It's frightening, you know. And of course, the sensationalization of death on television—you watch, you know, all those crazy shows with, you know, the crime shows. It even further heightens our fear of death. And, when you add to it mistaken beliefs, you know, I mean, look at the choice we have: heaven or hell, the devil or an angel. You know, I mean, it's a daunting thing to face if we're not facing it regularly and talking about it with people who have some experience.
So now, why do you feel as if fear, the fear of dying, holds us back from living fully?
Well, for me anyways, I link death to change or mm-hmm. death to an edge or death to inspiration. For example, many young men like to drive their bicycles fast or their motorcycles fast or jump out of airplanes or do all this kind of edgy stuff, which brings them close to the place of life and death. That aliveness that people feel when they jump out of a plane is something we're all longing for. But if we're not willing to take the risk and take the jump, we won't feel that sense of aliveness. So I think when we hold ourselves back from the coin of life and death and we try and push death away, we push life away by avoiding taking risks, avoiding living fully, avoiding being who we are, just in case somebody comes along and doesn't like us. That kind of thing is what we do.
So we ignore the inevitable, right? I mean, we kind of ignore it. We push it away from us. We don't like it. We don't like talking about it. So when we're doing that, you know, what are we doing in life when we're pushing it away? What are we doing more in life?
Well, actually, we're doing less in life, and usually what we're doing is we're distracting ourselves. Most people I've spoken to who are on their deathbed and close to death regret the fact that they haven't lived the life that they knew they came here to live. They lived a life that they thought other people would appreciate them for. They regret the fact that they didn't really do all the things that they wanted to do in their hearts. They put them aside and held them back because they didn't think it would fit in, that kind of stuff. So by not facing our death, we mute our passion for life by not being willing to have a relationship end we tend to compromise our fullness out of the frame of life. So what I've noticed, and if I pay attention when I'm sitting with people who are dying, is they give me these little life lessons in the form of a regret. Oh, I wish I had spent more time with my family. Life lesson number one, spend more time with your family.
Right.
You know, those sorts of regrets, if we're able to be with the one who's dying, hear them and receive them, can really transform our lives into being a much more full and happy and satisfying life.
You know, Stephen, that leads me right into my next question, which was, how can you be inspired by the loss of a loved one, or while, you know, in the process of that loss?
Well, I can give you two examples. My late sister Jody died way back in 1988. Unexpectedly, brain aneurysm, boom, she was dead and off the planet. I went through a lot of grief, a lot of survivor's guilt, a lot of shame about, I was just a money-making machine, and she was a compassionate, loving, community-based woman. So when I noticed her death and noticed that I was still alive, her death shocked me so much it helped me quit a job as a stockbroker and become a social worker, which was more in alignment with my heart's true giving. So her death, in fact, was a wake-up call for me to live my deepest heart's calling. Another example, very quick one, a friend of mine in San Francisco passed away very, very suddenly about a month ago, and her passion was always to create community around her. She had trouble with it in her life, but in her death, at the celebration of her life, there were 350 active community members there celebrating her in her death. So taking death that way, it inspires me to live a more full life because I don't know when I'm going. Stacey, this may be the last phone call I ever make. It may be the last one. If it is, I better give it everything I got because there's no point in holding back. Do you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. So for our listeners out there, Stephen, what is the first step to beginning to, it's obviously not going to happen overnight. You know, you don't just change the way you think about something immediately, right? So
that's right.
What's the first step that you would leave with our listeners today on how to begin to embrace this concept of our ultimate end? I mean, it's inevitable.
Yep, and I've got some very simple hints. One of them is to acknowledge the beginning of the day and acknowledge the end of the day. In other words, the day is born when you wake up, and when you go to sleep, the day dies. So to have some type of ritual around a mini death or an end or a change that's similar to death is a good practice. Every day I say good morning and welcome the new day. Every night I say good night and goodbye to the day that's just died. We can do it with the seasons. That's why the solstices are so important. And having a beginning to the summer season and an end to the summer season, a beginning to the fall season and an end to the fall season. So recognizing these little beginnings and endings is one way we can begin to breathe a bit more openly into the big death, which is the loss of our life.
Well, Stephen, this definitely gives us a lot to think about, and hopefully the listeners can begin to celebrate those little endings in hopes that they can embrace their own at the time and then live that fulfilling life as you move towards that. So to learn more about Stephen Garrett and his book, When Death Speaks, Listen, Learn, and Love, you can do so at his website. You can visit embraceyourdeath.com, and you can purchase his new book several places. Friesenpress.com, I'll spell that for you, FRIESEN Press.com, as well as Amazon.ca and Chapters.ca. So thank you, Stephen, for a great interview. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Stacey. It's been a joy talking to you and to your listeners. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR and the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps even life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy more posts on JenningsWire.com and discover the bloggers that might be perfect for you. Till next time.